Silverload by Steve Poole. Read by Graham Vick. I hate hunting rats. Other creatures are no problem. I've been bit, scratched, slapped, burned, and infected by just about every kind of monster, demon, or undead thing over the past few years. I was even stung by a wyvern once. Just part of a pest exterminator's job. But were-rats, I just call them rats with a capital R, are different. These creatures make me nervous. Probably because they are like us in so many ways. So my business phone rings and I tell myself to let it go a bit. Work's been slow lately, but I don't want any prospective clients to know that. The caller ID number displayed belongs to one Robert Hanley, a bureaucrat down at the Interagency Rodent Extermination Task Force, the city's unofficial werehunter department, among other things. The IRETF only calls me whenever it finds itself shorthanded dealing with some werebeast outbreak. We in the business call these jobs silver loads, on account of the ammo that we use, silver, and the runaround we often get trying to deal with the city afterwards, as in a load of... And to think that I could have been a priest. Turns out I knew the place that was having problems. A little mom-and-pop grocery in Murray Hill around 2nd and 38th. I pull up, and everything looks fine, very peaceful. I knew it wasn't, of course. Beasts will often lay low, waiting for a good moment to hit someone when any potential witnesses are looking the other way. Sometimes the cleverer ones will attempt to lure a potential target into a trap with promises of drugs or sex or whatever. Knowing how people are, the first thing I do is put a padlock on the front door. Because some idiot will doubtless come stumbling into the store at the worst possible moment, looking for diapers or hooch or something, and just complicate matters. You gotta know your lycanthropes in this job. Everyone knows about Mr. Werewolf. Shoot it with a silver bullet, right? Not actually that easy in my experience, unless you're using a hunting rifle from far away. You'll never get close enough to use a pistol. I find that about 50 pounds of beef is sufficient to pacify them. They won't fetch a stick for you after that, but you can get a lot closer to them. Were-boars don't hunt. They scavenge. Leave a smelly treat in a cage and they'll walk right on in. I don't know anything about were-bears. If we had any around here, I wouldn't answer my phone. A buddy of mine in the business once caught a were-gator, told me that it didn't work very well. I guess real alligators are more dangerous. There may be were-squirrels, were-pigeons, or were-kitties out there, too, but I haven't come across any of them yet. Never a dog. Dogs lost their feral a long time ago, thanks to us. Then there are the rats. Rats are a nervous, suspicious, dangerously clever bunch, and family-oriented in the same way that street gangs tend to be. They are also careful, never going into a place without an exit plan, and have amazing muscle memory when it comes to running away. That makes them especially dangerous ambush hunters. And in case you're wondering, no, they don't shrink down to the size of real rats. It's a Newton conservation of mass rule law whatever thing. They remain human-sized and vaguely human-shaped. It's not attractive. So the owner is waiting for me in the alley behind his store, something I expressly asked him not to do. I mean, where did he think the rats were coming from? He was very concerned about his twofold problem. The damage his store might suffer during the extermination process, and the damage his reputation might suffer if word of this problem got out. I guess he didn't think about the third problem he'd have if the rats took him up on his offer to become their dinner by loitering in the alley. After he brought me up to speed, I shooed him away. I was looking for three rats, two males and a female. The boys had to be brothers. There's no way two unrelated rat males hang out with a sole female and not try to kill each other. I figured it was even odds that the intruders were running around sporting their pointy-toothed rat heads. It's a foolish myth, probably started by lycanthropes themselves, that they only change during a full moon. Their change is an emotional thing, not a lunar thing. Think about dogs wagging their tails. The hallway immediately leading in from the alley was narrow and grimy. That's real chic decor for my targets, but I knew they weren't responsible. The dry twig of a mop I found in the slop sink couldn't have seen a soapy bucket in months. There were also a lot of dusty inventory boxes stacked up against the walls. I noticed a few square-shaped blank spots in the floor ringed by dust halos. Somewhere in the building, probably in the nest, I'd find the missing merchandise. It didn't take long to spot the rat hole in the floor that probably led to the nest. Rat holes tend to be impossibly narrow from a normal-sized person perspective. And I briefly thought about that kid in Texas who fell down an oil pipe in the mid-80s, and I shuddered. The hole was clean and hair-free. That meant they were coming through looking human, probably also naked. Things like shoes and belts tend to get hung up in the rims of rat holes. They were also likely armed. You don't find that too often with other lycanthropes. Mostly they are just a bite and scratch bunch. Unfortunately, this is not so with rats. I could hear one of them rustling around up front. It appeared to have missed my scent. Thank God for potato chips. They might be the only thing more pungent to a rat than people. I snuck up to within 10 feet of it while its head was buried in a bag of chippos. Before I could act, however, it spun around and checked me out with weird red backlit eyes. It still looked somewhat human. A very hairy and ugly human, and not currently baring its rat teeth. I should mention something about rat teeth. They can bite through a 2-inch iron bar. It was faster than me, but I was the one with the gun. I found myself struggling under its smelly corpse when an avalanche of chips and salsa tumbled down on us from the smashed display rack above. I first thought that it had managed to bite me after all, until I realized I wasn't looking at blood but spilled picante sauce. I had managed to shoot the rat cleanly through its still human-looking head. I crossed myself before standing up. Remember how I mentioned earlier that I almost became a priest? I'd been accepted to seminary and was all set to go when I met Molly. She herself was considering becoming a nun. But I guess we convinced each other that a life spent together was probably better and more fun. So, anyway, I don't think Rat Boy wanted me to give it its last rites. But I crossed it anyway. I guess I'm just mean that way. Brother Rat jumped out and began screeching something. I don't know what. I try not to get involved in a monster's personal problems. I did care that it pulled out a semi-automatic, and, judging from the way it cocked the gun, seemed very comfortable using it. I also noted dismally that it was in full-on rat mode, big ears, fangs, and all. I managed to scramble behind a condiments island before the rat sprayed the store with bullets. I quickly did the math. I had my 2.8-shot 9mm, which still had 15 silver bullets between them, not counting my now-missing reloads. My spare clips were now lost under the bags of chips on the floor. The rat itself had several banana clips for his semi-auto, each clip having many more rounds than I currently possessed. The next few moments were ugly. Giant sheets of refrigerator glass panes exploded into nasty shards. Fortunately, I avoided getting cut by any of it. I was not so lucky with the fridge contents, or the island condiments. Ketchup, mustard, relish, soda, energy drinks, chocolate milk, orange juice, fancy water, and beer sprayed everywhere. I was being marinated and turned into a sticky sweet appetizer. Worse, I couldn't see through the mess dripping in my eyes, and my hands and feet began to stick to the floor. Somehow, though, I scrambled up and emptied my pistols in the rat's vicinity when it stopped to reload. I think being a lycanthrope must make you forget about mortality. Except for silver, what can really hurt you? It, as I hoped, didn't even bother to duck. I managed to bury most of my slugs into the rat and blow its limp body out the front window. It took me a few moments to register with the mess around me before I thought, oh good, now the police will come and find all of this. I wasted no time calling the IRTEF. They could explain it to the cops. I had a few minutes to clean up and look around before the cavalry arrived. I quick changed in my van and grabbed some ammo before heading back to the hole. There was still a female hiding somewhere, one that most likely bolted to the nest the moment the shooting started. The floorboards around the hole were soft enough to break through when I pounded on them with a heavy sign. Once the hole was big enough, I dropped to the bottom and made my way back. One of the things I've noticed after 10 years on the job is that my senses have changed. I stopped needing flashlights and binoculars a few years back. I don't know if it's a professional thing or it's because I've been infected so often that I've begun to mutate. I really hope not. I've also noticed I get more stares from priests and nuns than from before. Anyway, I had no problem moving through the dark tunnel. And I heard the monster gasp as soon as I dropped to the floor. When I saw it, I think I used some sailor talk that I'd later have to confess. It looked like a young girl, maybe 17 or 18, and pregnant out to about California. This girl was definitely lycanthrope, but her baby might not have been. I couldn't kill either one of them. She didn't know that, though, and took off in a flash after I pointed a gun at her and said that I would. My life is admittedly strange. IRTEF cleaned up afterwards and held off the police. I guess they recognize these boys, or at least their work. The city keeps an unofficial casualty count from these kinds of monsters, although no one there will admit it. These rats must have been real troublemakers, hence the courtesy. I almost always get stuck with the broom and dustbin afterwards. I fudged the debriefing a bit. No, there are only two monsters, not three. Yes, the owner was safely away when I arrived. No, I didn't believe there were any witnesses or innocent victims caught in the crossfire. Reality intruded during the meeting. Molly called to ask if I could bring some milk home with me. That kind of intrusion is always okay with me.